good morning to you, everyone, on a Tuesday. And, Michael, I guess there's some good news out there. At least a couple of the governors in New York and New Jersey think that things are flattening out a little bit. And I guess that's we take that as good news. We're still getting people in the hospital. People are still dying. But the rates are seem to be flattening out.
That is good news. That social distancing really seems to be working.
It does, and that leads our big three. Things do appear to be flattening out in New York and New Jersey, and Governor Cuomo raises social distancing fines from $500 to $1,000. I wonder if anyone's really been fined for that.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Seeing some of the video, I mean, people are out in the parks. I saw on Channel 4 this morning, people are out playing soccer yesterday, so somewhere along the line, people need to get the word. Also in the big three, Corona deaths in the U.S. now top 10,000. Actually, you know how quickly it's gone up, Michael? Now it's nearly 11,000. At yesterday's press briefing, the president was bristling at reporters again. And meanwhile, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is now in intensive care. They say he's not on a ventilator. We'll have a live report coming up from London at 6:23 this morning.
He's getting oxygen, though.
Yeah, he is on auction. Yeah. And rounding out the big three, your friend, the great Andrew Lloyd Webber, joins us at 6:40, the most successful Broadway composer and producer ever.
Yeah, and they're re-airing Easter Sunday, NBC. Remember they did that live broadcast? I think it was with John Legend of Jesus Christ Superstar. That was a big hit a couple of years ago. I was actually at the broadcast, at the show that night, and they're re-airing it on Easter because, of course, you know, they can't do anything live these days. And Andrew has become a social media phenomenon, Len, because he's quarantined at his house outside of London, and he sits at his piano and he takes requests from people. He plays his songs, and then a lot of people, just regular people, are recording their own versions of his songs, and they send them to him, and he picks the ones he likes and plays them on his social media platforms.
Well, I believe Natalie has some of that. So let's listen, if we can, to some of Andrew Lloyd Webber on Twitter as he takes requests and plays his piano for his legions of fans around the world. So if we have that audio, let's give it a shot.
Hi, everybody. Something for Palm Sunday from Jesus Christ Superstar. And I've chosen the moment where in Tim Rice's brilliant, brilliant script of the last 7 days of Jesus Christ, where Jesus rides triumphantly into Jerusalem with the song Hosanna. And I'd love it if you would post your own videos of you singing along to it. And we'll put a compilation together and show it sometime during the week. So here goes from Jesus Christ Superstar, Hosanna.
Well, he's pounding away at the keys there, Michael.
Yes, I want to record my version and send it to him. Hey, Hosanna, Hosanna, Zana, Zana, hey. Want to join me, Len?
No. In fact, maybe that's your version, and that's all we need to hear.
But, maybe that's so.
Now, how did you get to be so friendly with this guy? Because he is literally numero uno in the history of Broadway.
Well, to be honest with you, you know, I covered him for years, covering Broadway as I did, and, you know, you can't cover Broadway without covering Andrew Lloyd Webber. But I didn't know him really that well, but it's his daughter, Imogen Lloyd Webber. She and I wound up being on Don Imus's radio show together. We had a weekly spot on his radio show about the entertainment business. And it was through my friendship with her that I got to know Andrew pretty well. He's a great guy. And he's got a very calming voice in this troubled time.
He does. And, you know, they're going to, as it turns out, they're going to replay his Jesus Christ Superstar show on NBC this Sunday, which is Easter Sunday.
That's
and that was his first big deal, right? Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah. The very first show he wrote with Tim Rice was Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. But that was a kid show. It didn't become a Broadway show till later. It was just they did it for a school. But the breakthrough show is Jesus Christ Superstar. By the way, talking to Tim Rice the other day, and he's going to come on our show, I think, maybe next week.
Oh, terrific. So you've got them all lined up. Well, obviously, we want to know from Andrew Lloyd Webber what the future of Broadway is. But you've already tipped his hand. You said no matter what, Phantom of the Opera is coming back.
Yeah, he has said in no uncertain terms that no matter how long Broadway is closed, the Phantom of the Opera, which is the longest running show in the history of Broadway, going on 33 years now, Phantom will be one of the shows that leads Broadway back to business.
All right, so Andrew Lloyd Webber coming up live from the UK at 6:40. In fact, we have back-to-back reports from England. We have Tom Rivers, ABC News, on the latest on Boris Johnson being in intensive care. That's at 6:23. And Andrew Lloyd Webber live at 6:40. Now, did you watch some of the president's news briefing yesterday, Mike?
A little bit. I saw some choice excerpts.
Yeah, what happened? Well, and I found this really interesting. So I'm like an inveterate dial flipper. CNN didn't cover it at the beginning. They waited several. So I realized, wait a second, because I got an alert on my phone from ABC News that the briefing was underway. So I immediately went to Fox, and Fox covered it, and MSNBC and all the other miscellaneous cable channels were all carrying it live. But CNN waited a long time. And I have to believe that's a little bit of a statement that they're making over at CNN.
Yeah, I think the mainstream media that is so anti-Trump is seeing that despite their consistent, unceasing attacks on everything he says and does, that the American people, to some extent, are rallying behind the president and think he may be a little freewheeling, but he's doing a pretty good job. And I think that's bothering the powers that be at CNN. Of course, you know, they're the anti-Trump network there. And I think the more their feeling is the more they show him, the more it could help him in the polls. So they're trying not to air his press conferences. In other words, they're denying their viewers the news of the day for purely political reasons. Unbelievable.
Okay, well, let me tell you the flip side to that. So you say the mainstream media. Well, MSNBC was carrying the whole thing live. So there shoots your theory about the left. Number two, now I'm not going to pretend to speak for CNN, but just reading between the lines, I think they're saying that nothing newsworthy is coming from the president's mouth. And that's why they're not covering it.
My feeling is, Len, when the president of the United States speaks during a time of an unprecedented crisis we've had in the history of this country, when he speaks, that's news. It's news.
Unfortunately, he doesn't like to accept tough questions from the media. Our buddy Jonathan Carl, the terrific ABC White House chief correspondent. By the way, he's going to be with us tomorrow. So he tried to ask a question about an inspector general report. Now, you just say the words inspector general in front of Donald Trump and it waves a red flag like he is a bullfighter. As you know, he fired the inspector general just the other night on a Friday night deal who was involved in the whole Ukraine thing. Anyway, Jonathan Carl wanted to ask a perfectly legitimate question, and the president went off on Carl again, called him a third-rate reporter, told him he'll never make it. I mean, come on. This is a crisis time. This is the president of the United States. So that backs up CNN's argument not to cover it because some of it is just total nonsense, Michael.
Now, Len, first of all, it's not that he's not taking these hard questions. The press is peppering him with questions, a lot of them really loaded, frankly. And he takes them. He is unlike any other president who's, you know, not going to sit up there and say, I'm going to say, well, I'm not going to comment about that. We can't say anything about this. If he thinks the question is antagonistic or stupid, he comes out and he says it. But it's not that he's not taking these questions.
You think asking about proper preparation for hospitals, that's an improper question, or that's a gotcha question?
No, but I think that's a legitimate question
to the president of the United States.
He's taken those questions. The inspector general question is just that they're just trying to get him. They're trying to make it look like, oh, this is revenge. You fired the guy. Listen, that whole Ukraine thing, you know, much to your dismay, I think, because I know how delighted and eager you were that it was going to bring him down. That whole Ukraine thing totally fizzled. And you know the one thing that we will remember from the Ukraine incident? Hunter Biden's no-show job for $50,000 a month. That's what I take away from the whole Ukraine incident.
Okay. Well, you obviously missed the point from yesterday because this was a totally different inspector general. And this question had to do with hospital supplies. Now, here's some of that exchange with our buddy Jonathan Carl.
Did serve in the previous administration.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. Oh, I see. You didn't tell me that, John. You didn't tell me that. Did serve in the previous administration. You mean the Obama administration. Thank you for telling me that. See, there's a typical fake news deal.
I told you when she was appointed.
You're a third-rate reporter, and what you just said is a disgrace, okay? You asked me, you said, sir, just got appointed. Take a look at what you said now. I said, when did this person, how long in government? Well, it was appointed in the Obama administration. Thank you very much, John. Thank you very much. You will never make it.
Jonathan Carl will never make it. He's only the best in the business, the president of the White House Correspondents Association, but he'll never make it.
You know, the real divide in this country, it's right here, folks. You could hear Bartlett and me. We're laughing in the background because we think Trump is just being funny. And there's Len appalled because he's not presidential. That's the divide of this country.
Oh, boy. So you like this when he says this.
You're a third-rate reporter, and what you just said is a disgrace.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, Carl's not taking that personally. Come on. I mean, we know what happens now.
Here's the interesting thing. You know, he lashed out at Carl. He took another question from him, I'd say about 15 minutes later, as if nothing had happened.
Yeah, that's it. That's the president. You know, he doesn't hold grudges.
That's how Carl described it. We talked to him the other day, and that's how he described. He has a new book, Front Row at the Trump Show. And that's how he describes the president. He almost has a schizophrenic personality. In 1 second, he'll lash out. And a couple of seconds, it's almost bipolar. In the next couple of seconds, he'll say, like it never happened.
Yeah. Well, that's good leadership.
Great leadership, Michael. The greatest of all time. Coming up next, we're going to check in with ABC's Tom Rivers in London. We'll have the latest on Prime Minister Boris Johnson in intensive care. We'll be right back.
Any of them have been struck down as badly as this, where they've had to go to the hospital and be given oxygen.
We heard of Prince Charles also in the UK having coronavirus, but not being hospitalized. But clearly Boris Johnson hospitalized, and that's an issue.
And Boris Johnson is a new prime minister. Remember, he was elected to during the whole Brexit controversy where Britain had voted to get out of the European Union, and they were stuck. They couldn't figure a way out, and old Boris just came blundering through, bombing his way through, and said, we're getting out of the Union, period. And he won really a landslide victory against the left-wing Labour Party.
You know, we're going to be joined shortly by Tom Rivers of ABC News on the Foreign Desk. Always does a great job of covering what's going on in the UK. I'm curious, and I guess I should know the answer to this. Is he as polarizing over there? Well, he's on the line now, so let's ask him. Tom, you there?
Yep, with you guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I was just asking Michael, so I may as well ask you, is Boris Johnson as a polarizing figure over there as the president is over here?
To an extent, but again, we've gone through a different process here. They went through 3 years of terrible frustration and anger over Brexit. And although he certainly isn't everybody's cup of tea, he certainly is a character. He's a maverick. he was the one who solved the puzzle. So there is not as much, if you will, bad blood by the opposition right now. So, yeah, he's. I guess you could say he's in a better place than the president in as far as criticism up and down the country.
What's the latest on his condition? And is number 10 Downing Street being candid with you about the facts of his state?
They've kind of been forced into being a little bit more forthcoming. Yesterday, we had a briefing yesterday morning just saying, moderate symptoms, no problem. Well, guess what? He was admitted Sunday, transferred to ICU yesterday, and a little bit of truth had to come out. The fact that we got an update this morning, he was given some oxygen overnight, something like 4 liters. One good thing, though, gentlemen, is that he was not put on a ventilator. That's very, very important at this stage. Hopefully, that's going to be the case as we go forward. But,
Tom, you there? Have we lost you?
Tom?
All right, we lost him for a second. We'll try to reconnect. We're on with Tom Rivers, ABC News in London. I was just going to ask him, Michael, as far as, that's pretty startling when a world leader is in ICU. I mean, we sort of take these things almost, I'm not going to say for granted, but it doesn't seem to alarm us. But can you imagine if these were normal times and all of a sudden you hear of the Prime Minister of Great Britain in ICU? I mean, that's stunning. Yeah. Hey, Tom, you back with us?
Yeah, that's odd. We just kind of dropped off there, guys. Sorry about that. But
We understand. No, I was just saying to Michael, and I may as well direct it to you. These just aren't normal times. Normally, I mean, if you hear of a world leader being in ICU, you'd go, whoa. I mean, what's the reaction over there from the citizens of the UK?
Yeah, as I said kind of like a minute ago, that the citizens are rallying behind him. Even those that are in a staunch, critics of his are saying, look, get better. Kind of a sub to all of this, his fiance, 32 years of age, 7 months pregnant. Ooh. She has got COVID-19 symptoms as well, although she seems to be faring better. But, if you're 7 months pregnant, that's got to be a worrying concern right now.
So, Tom, who's running the government while he's hooked up to the oxygen tank?
Yeah, well, he's deputized the foreign secretary, Dominic Raab. So Dominic Raab is not going to be cutting his own course. He's been very, very meticulous in saying, look, I'm following through the game plan of Boris Johnson. I'm doing what he wants me to do, et cetera, et cetera. We're not at a point where potentially Boris might have to step down from his position. We certainly aren't there, but we could be in the coming weeks.
Well, I was going to ask you, if he does have to step down, or God forbid, if he doesn't pull through, what's the political system? Who takes charge? Do they have another election again? You just had one.
You know, it would be an internal, if you will, almost a coronation within the ruling Conservative Party. Just as we had, you think back to last summer, and Boris Johnson replaced Theresa May as prime minister. Then there was a general election in December. So we're not going to have another general election, but we would have some kind of an internal, if you will, election within the members of the Conservative Party. They would find somebody, fill in the blank, to run, and then eventually, you could have a snappy election further down the road, but that is not going to be the first option here.
Grandma Tom Rivers, ABC News. We just have a few seconds left, but I'm just thinking. First, you had Prince Charles testing positive. Mm-hmm. Now, then you had the Queen making this rare statement. Now you have Boris Johnson in intensive care. I mean, you're getting it from all sides over there.
I was talking to an old editor of mine from the '80s, and on Facebook yesterday, saying, "Look, if somebody wrote this script, guys, last year, and submitted it to Hollywood, they would have been laughed at and said, get this out of here. You know, what kind of stuff are you writing here? Well, it's happening. We're living it. And every day, another strange part of this story comes to the fore. You're living through it in New York. We're living through it here in London, other people elsewhere. And it's something that is not going to be over tomorrow. That's the problem.
Yeah.
We're stuck with this quite some time, guys.
All right. ABC News correspondent Tom Rivers in London. Tom, thanks for your time.
Thanks,
appreciate
Tom.
It.
Take care.
All right, time for the news at 6:30 from Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Michael. Morning, Len. Hey, maybe some good news here. Governor Cuomo says the curve may be flattening. He says the hospitalization rate is slowing, but he cautioned against getting too excited right now.
Well, the numbers look like they may be turning. Yay, it's over. No, it's not. And other places have made that mistake. Hong Kong has made that mistake. South Korea has made that mistake. And we're not going to make that mistake.
But the governor says the signs are hopeful. There are 130,000 cases in New York State. More than 4,700 people have died in the city. 72,000 cases, 2,700 deaths in New Jersey, where they also say they are optimistic. They have more than 41,000 cases. 1,000 people have died in New Jersey. The governor wants police to crack down on large gatherings, increasing state fines from $500 to $1,000. Cuomo telling police to be more aggressive in enforcing those social distancing guidelines, which a lot of people are not paying attention to. A Jersey City Councilman, Michael Yoon, has died from complications of coronavirus. Mayor Stephen Phillips says that Yoon was a great coworker and a tireless advocate for the people of Jersey City. He says the entire community is devastated. President Trump says it's going to be a rough week ahead, but he also says there is light at the end of the tunnel, citing the progress in New York of the flattening of the curve. Still, Dr. Anthony Fauci says we may never return to normal. I don't know if you heard that comment from him yesterday. We're never going to go back to where we were.
Well, he means because we could face further outbreaks of the coronavirus or other diseases?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Joe,
because you have to always be vigilant.
Let's listen to it. Here it is.
If you want to get to pre-coronavirus, that might not ever happen in the sense of the fact that the threat is there. But I believe with the therapies that will be coming online and with the fact that I feel confident that over a period of time we will get a good vaccine, that we will never have to get back to where we are right back now. So if that means getting back to normal, then we'll get back to normal.
Well, that's hopeful.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, we're definitely going to come out of this situation here at some point.
Yeah.
Hey, finally, Mayor de Blasio is facing criticism for taking walks in the park.
Saw
the problem is You know, that doesn't seem like a problem, but the problem is he's being driven to Prospect Park in Brooklyn.
He lives right there by the East River and that in the mayor's house. He's got a big park there he can wander around.
So what's that all about?
I think there's something going on over there in Prospect Park. I'll tell you, there's a stay-at-home order, but he's being driven to Prospect Park to walk. Here's what he says about it.
I just think this is not something that really is what people should be focused on in the middle of this crisis. I go get my exercise like everyone else. I go to my home neighborhood. It's part of what helps me just continue to work nonstop on this. I'm on conference calls pretty much the whole time.
Let's put it this way.
Joe, wait, do you think he's cruising in that park? Is that why he's going over to Prospect Park?
You just stop and think of the logic of what's happening. There's a reason he goes there every day. Everything that he needs in Prospect Park can be attained somewhere else, but he goes there. Why? He must, you know, the speculation is it must be something he wants to see there.
What are you insinuating, Joe?
I'm not. There must be some sort of attraction in that neighborhood that he needs to see on a regular basis.
Okay. There you go. You heard it right from Joe Bartlett.
Good thing he's not going to.
I'm just guessing.
What would BB say if he went to the Rambles in Central Park on a regular basis?
You got to wonder, though, right?
You do. It is odd, I have to say. It is very, very odd. All right. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. When we get back, the great Andrew Lloyd Webber joins us. Jesus Christ Superstar. His breakthrough show is going to be re-airing on NBC this Easter Sunday. And Andrew has become, Len, internet media sensation, playing his songs for everybody and having people submit their own versions of his stuff. So Andrew Lloyd Webber joins us. That's coming up next.
Love him. But the world was sleeping. Any dream will do.
Andrew Lloyd Webber, welcome to the program. How are you this morning?
Hey, Andrew.
I'm very, very well. A lovely, bright day in Britain, I have to say.
have to ask you, out of all the things you've done in your life, why are you so friendly with Michael Riedel? That just continues to puzzle me.
Thanks.
Well, it depends how long you've got for me to talk on the program. perhaps it might be for another day when you've got a couple of hours.
Andrew, I want to ask you, I see in the West End, they've announced that all the theaters will be closed to June 1st. And I know you're in touch with all the Broadway powers that be here. How long are you sensing Broadway is going to be shut down?
Well, look, I think the answer is that nobody knows really anything, do they? I mean, for example, in Korea, where they kept the theaters open and they were going in for a whole thing of, you know, taking everybody's temperature in the audience before they were going in and this, that and the other, and really going in for sanitizing absolutely everywhere. Then in the end, the virus defeated them because a couple of cast members got something, you know, and that, I'm talking about Phantom of the Opera in Seoul. And, you know, the trouble is nobody, and Korea thought that they got it pretty much under wraps. Nobody really knows. I mean, if you want me as a guessing person to say when I think everything's going to open, I would be surprised if it got open much before September. That's my that's my honest guess. But, you know, you never know. I mean, I do know that the government here really expects the virus. Well, at one stage, a few weeks ago, they were expecting the virus here to peak in June, at the beginning of June, and then fall away very, very quickly. I pushed the opening of my Cinderella back, you know, from September to the end of October, really before all of this caught, you know, caught fire, as it were. So, Michael, I wish I knew. I wish I knew, but my guess is that the 31st of May it would be fantastic, and I don't know. I mean, I think the feeling in America is perhaps a little more optimistic than it is here. You know, with our prime minister going into intensive care and everything, I think everybody's in some kind of shock here. But everybody has to be advised by, in the end, scientists who know what they're talking about. And let's face it, I don't.
Well, you do when it comes to Broadway.
Along
with the great Andrew Lloyd Webber. And Andrew, I know you've told Michael in the past that no matter what, Phantom of the Opera is returning.
Absolutely. We're planning on, you know, exactly what we do. I was incredibly blown away by the fact when I played All I Ask of You that it's had over 20 million people viewing it now. I can't believe it because I've never done social media before. It's not my not my world. And now suddenly I seem to be sucked into it because I suppose there's, you know, but it's a joy actually that so many artists, I mean, incredibly impressed by that Hamilton broadcast, you know, when I say broadcast shows my age, doesn't it? but I mean, that was, I thought, extraordinary, you know, for a 9-year-old kid and all of that. I mean, I think everybody is sort of pulling together in a way that, I think it does show that the theatre community is a community. You know, mm-hmm. I was talking to Tom Schumacher the other day, and we were all saying that we old theatre people, the ones who've been around for a while, though the core of the theatre, we've all got to stick together.
Yeah, we really have. So people should know that now where that you can go see Andrew on various social media platforms in your house at your piano playing your songs and other people's songs. Why did you decide to do this since you weren't a big social media guy?
Well, I can be frank, my daughter works in a social media company.
Imogen, yeah.
She's with me. This Bella, actually. My
Bella,
one.
Okay. Yeah.
So she sort of said, right, on my iPhone, we get started. And anyway, I wanted to do some things. I used to do quite a lot of television in Britain with casting shows and things. And I find it fun communicating with people. I love getting feedback from people. I mean, when we did Any Dream Will Do, and we got hundreds and hundreds of thousands of videos, you know, sent in of people, and we tried to put a little compilation together. I mean, it's fun. And I think we all need a bit of fun at the moment. I'm loving it. I mean, it's fun to sort of challenge Lin-Manuel to to do something. And it's fun
that was great.
I reply. You know, it's fun. I mean, and I think, I'm still carrying on with the writing of Cinderella at the moment. We come to the end of it, really, but we were supposed to do a workshop ending at the end of this week. And, you know, we've managed to keep going via Zoom and all of that with the writing. But, gosh, I mean, well, we all want to get back to work. And so I find it sort of takes my mind off things a bit.
Are you on Twitter? Is that where you're doing this, Andrew?
Yeah, where can people find this, Andrew?
I think they can find me on Twitter. I think they can find me on Instagram. I can't find myself, of course, on Twitter or Instagram.
So when people send you these videos of themselves, I mean, some of them, let's be kind, some of them are probably just dreadful, Andrew. Do you let them down easy?
Well, I think some of them, you know, one has to perhaps draw a slight veil over. You never know. we have a lot of people. I mean, the guys in my theatre office, you know, who are all incredibly young. I mean, I'm so much the oldest person involved with the whole thing they're having a field day. You know, they're just looking at things and looking at all these videos and sending me some. And we're all having a lot of fun. But at the same time, you know, we've got to remember, I mean, the incredible sacrifices that I know on your side of the ocean, as it were, are being made by so many people, and particularly working in the hospitals. And I mean, the bravery of some of the people here. And I sit here, you know, thinking, I'm moaning about the fact that my workshop's not happening. And yeah, I'm thinking, you know, how lucky I am, because I'm fine, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, interestingly, my kids, my two sons, both have had the virus, and they were down with, one of them was staying with me 2.5 weeks ago, and I haven't picked it up, because I got tested and I'm fine, you know, so it's weird, but I was, you know, something that might be a bit of a tip. I just followed some advice that I used to have, you know, when I was at school. You know, you used to steam. Do you remember that, Michael? You put your head in over a load of boiling water.
Steam it.
Towel over your head. Yeah, and, you know, I did that like 4 times a day when I realized that there might be a problem. Then he went home. Do you know what? I mean, maybe that helped.
Hey, Andrew, you're offering on free streaming online of some of your shows. Yeah. What shows are out there and how can people see them?
Well, we've just done Joseph. there's the arena production of Superstar, which in a way it's quite interesting to compare that with the NBC one, which I thought was fantastic. But the arena one, the Rock Arena one, which was supposed to go around America until the promoter rather let us down, but that is you know, on video, and that is, I think, the next one that's coming out. Interestingly, the Gillian Lynn directed old version, or the stage version of Cats, is coming out, which will be interesting, I think, for people to see, you know, who maybe haven't seen the stage show, to see what it was meant to be. And what else is going? Oh, yes, of course. I mean, the one that the whole of America is waiting for, I mean, as is the is Britain, I mean, absolutely on its knees waiting for it, by Jeeves. I mean, I can't wait to see it again myself.
That's a very charming score, though.
Very charming. Three people watching.
Very charming score, though, by Jeeves. Underrated Andrew Lloyd Webber show.
All right, the great Andrew Lloyd Webber. You can check him out on Twitter at @OfficialALW. His Jesus Christ Superstar re-airing on NBC this Easter Sunday. Thank you so much, Andrew. So nice to talk with you.
Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, well, thank you, and good luck to everybody in America.
You know, thank you.
We'll
thank
pull
you.
Through.
We Bye-bye. Will. Bye-bye.
And then we'll have his music and his shows, and Phantom will continue on Broadway. Hey, that was great, Michael. Coming up next, what the governor and mayor are saying. Should we take it all as good news? That's coming up next.
Something, Len?
I'm not, but I absolutely loved his subtlety, because he was talking about Cats. And he said, if you see his version of Cats on video, you'll see what the show was really like, which is really, as opposed to the movie, which he didn't say. It was just very little subtle little dig at the movie. You'll
yeah, he's
what the Cats was really all about.
Yeah, at his official website, you'll be able to see the original theatrical version of Cats, which I think he might hold in a little higher esteem than the movie.
Boy. So. Yeah, no, it was fun.
So we've got some stuff from Andrew Cuomo here. Now, here's the good news. Glimmers of hope here. It does appear here in New York State and in New York City that there's a flattening of the coronavirus curve. Now, the governor says, you know, this does not mean you can throw away your masks and your gloves and you go run out and have a good time and try to go back to a bar or something like that. Not at all. He says, you know, this is not the time to take our foot off the gas pedal. And he's increased the fines for social distancing from $500 to $1,000 if you are not keeping your distance from people. But, here's the governor on the possible flattening of the curve.
While none of this is good news, the possible flattening of the curve is better than the increases that we have seen.
And he is.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say he does seem to be tentatively hopeful.
We could still see an increase. So it is hopeful, but it's also inconclusive. And it still depends on what we do.
Now, the lockdown period that we have here, he has extended until April 29th. So, you know, with these hopeful signs, this does not mean it's business as usual at all. You still have to wear a mask when you go out, wear gloves. Really, don't go out. I think that's the best advice. Try not to go out. But if you got to go out, take precautions, wash your hands, wash everything down. You know, when I go out to get groceries now, Len, and this is something that my sister reminded me to do. Everything I bring back, I take one of those Clorox handy wipes and I wipe everything. Yeah. I wipe everything down that I bring into the house, which frankly I had not been doing until a couple of days ago.
We had a grocery delivery yesterday. Finally, it took us a while, but that's what my wife did. She wiped everything down before she brought it in the house. But, you know, this business of fining people for social gathering, I don't think there's any evidence that people have been fined, but the governor has put the threat out there that he's increasing the fine from $500 to $1,000.
Well, it's good for him to talk about it, because I have to be honest with you. We were talking with Steve Sciarippa from The Sopranos yesterday, and he lives downtown as I do. And he said, you know, he was going out and about going for a walk, and he noticed people in the parks in Battery City Park are not really keeping their distance. People are playing soccer games and this, that, and the other thing. I've noticed, you know, groups of three people, generally, I have to say younger people, you know, sitting around, sharing maybe a bottle of wine, sharing some food, you know, outside when it's nice, and they're not keeping 6 feet away from each other.
Yeah. Here's a little bit more of the governor from yesterday, Michael.
I want them to enforce them. And I want to be, frankly, more aggressive on the enforcement.
because all the anecdotal evidence is people are violating it at a higher rate than before.
Yeah, so I think people, you know, the weather's getting nicer, and they're hearing some slightly good news, and maybe they're letting their guard down a little bit, which, you know, is clearly a mistake.
No, you really can't do it. But, you know, you can understand people's frustrations. You know, I saw my girlfriend over the weekend. I just jumped on my bike and rode up to see her. But, you know, we had our masks and our gloves on, and we went for a walk around her neighborhood. But we were trying to keep 6 feet apart, you know, and it's kind of sad, I think. So.
Romantic walk with your gloves and masks. Nice. Take a picture of that. Hey, here's Governor Murphy over in New Jersey kind of echoing what Governor Cuomo is saying.
The curve is flattening, but this is no time to spike any footballs or to take our foot off the gas. Even if the curve is flatter, we still have a week and a half to go at least until we hit the peak. This is not over, and not by a long shot.
I guess that's the key, Michael, is that this peak is both sides of the Hudson are saying 7 to 10 days away.
Right, right. But, you know, we hit the peak, but if people still don't practice social distancing and people start going out, it could spike up again because the virus hasn't just disappeared overnight. It's still around.
Well, that's the thing. Even if it flattens, you still have a lot of cases. And to me, the key is once we do get to the other side and it does start to diminish, how much longer are we still going to be locked up? And I think it's still going to be a while, Michael. I really do.
Well, right now, the Governor Cuomo says lockdown until April 29th, and I tend to agree with you. I think we could go into May and possibly June where we're still living our lives this way.
I totally agree with you, and it's just sad but true, but I think we gotta get this thing stopped cold. We just got to do it, and this is the only way to do it, by
That's right.
staying cooped up.
And 6 feet away, even maybe more than 6 feet away from everybody. Social distancing, that is what is helping us bring down the cases of coronavirus. All right, when we get back, we're going to be joined by ABC News political analyst Alex Castellanos. Where in the world is Joe Biden? Now let's get the news at 7 o'clock.